from the South Point studio. The perfect blend of sports.
But I think the Niners are going to wear them down.
Detroit Pistons lost their 36 games.
Comedy.
See over under on that relationship lasting. I'm going to put mayo in the coffee.
Yes. I am beautiful.
And a whole lot of Pittsburgh.
In Pittsburgh.
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 Yeah. Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh.
Join Ryan McCormick.
That's at least two picks outside of our own in the first round next year.
For real.
And host Frank Nicotero.
When I look at the clock, I go,
Watch Punchlines live at noon every weekday.
South Point Casino is the perfect place to be. Our racebook is completely separate from the sportsbook and totally dedicated to the horse player. With 52 overhead TVs, free Wi-Fi, and cocktail service. Bring your tablet or smartphone and plug into the USB ports to look up your favorite handicapping website without draining your battery. Want to wager from your seat? No problem with our IPTs. Just sign up, make a deposit, and you're off to the races. Plus, you'll earn points for dining, hotel, movies, entertainment, and the spa just by using the club card when wagering. South Point Casino's Racebook has you covered.
Who is there for heroes or the families left behind when a service member or first responder dies or is catastrophically injured in the line of duty? Who helps our country's homeless veterans? And who helps our nation to never forget 9/11? Let me tell you who. The Tunnel to Towers Foundation. The Foundation's Gold Star, Fallen First Responder, Smart Home, and Homeless Veteran programs comprise their In the Line of Duty programs. They're all dedicated to honoring our nation's heroes and their families. The Foundation's Never Forget programs engage people in 9/11 remembrance across America. Over 80 runs, walks, and climbs a year, dozens of golf outings, and the Tunnel to Towers 9/11 Institute is educating kids in kindergarten through 12th grade to help our nation keep its vow to never forget. More than 95 cents of every dollar you donate to Tunnel to Towers goes to its programs. Never forget the sacrifices of our country's greatest heroes. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at t2t.org. That's T, the number 2, t.org.
The following is a Race Day Las Vegas presentation in association with Sirocco Productions Limited on the Race Day Las Vegas Radio Network.
Live from the gaming capital of the world, time for Race Day Las Vegas, covering the sport of kings with a Las Vegas perspective. Now, to the race desk with your host, Ralph Sirocco.
From the backstretch to the turf flow, at the racebooks and on the internet, to all horse players around the world, a good morning.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Race Day Las Vegas radio program. We come to you live and direct from the gaming capital of the world, right here at the South Point, at the South Point Studios network, streaming at YouTube from the South Point Studios at the South Point Hotel Casino Complex, right here in Las Vegas on Las Vegas Boulevard. We welcome you to the show. And of course, we welcome all of those listening on our other platforms as well, including our anchor radio station here in town, Sports Talk 1400 AM, 107.1 FM, our websites, racedaylasvegas.com.vegas.world.global, iPhone, Android with the KSHP app so you can hear us, and the YouTube app so you can see and hear us on your iPhones or your Androids, and of course anywhere you get your podcasting as well. We welcome all of you to the Race Day Las Vegas radio program on this Sunday, the day after. What a day it was yesterday at Saratoga Racecourse. And the Belmont Stakes yesterday. The Belmont Stakes Festival continues today, but Mother Nature has rained on their closing day parade. Jonathan Hardoon, who is right there at Saratoga, informed us that it was raining hard and throughout the entire night at Saratoga. Said it's just about ready to clear out now, but the damage has been done as far as the racetrack. No turf racing today at Saratoga on its closing day of the Belmont 4-day festival. So all the turf races come off the grass. There are seven stakes races on the card today at Saratoga, but all the races will be on the main track, and the main track, of course, will start off in anything but fast conditions. But the weather held off yesterday, and I can tell you it was one hell of a day at Saratoga. If you watched any of the video signals throughout the day, that place was packed. The people were having fun. They were out there enjoying themselves. And as a result of that racing card they put together yesterday at Saratoga, the handle was up 6.3% over 2023. It was a rousing success as far as the handle was concerned. There was a multitude of pools that you can get into. And I'm not even going to get into all the results of those day-over-day pools, the pick six, pick fours, and all that stuff there. But it was one hell of a day of racing at Saratoga on Belmont Stakes Day. We'll take a look at that as we look at that. And we know that Flavien Prat started off the first race with a nice winner and the favorite, $4.10. Mike Maker and Luis Saez checked in the second race with a $20 winner. And then you have the first of the nine stakes races yesterday at Saratoga. That was the True North, which was the fourth race on the card. The winner there was Baby Yoda, who went right to the lead and cranked right on down the line. Baby Yoda bottoms out the field in the True North at 6.5 furlongs with Eric Kinsella aboard for Bill Mott, paying $20.40, outrunning 90% Matty, and the race favorite Gun Pilot, who finished third. Then came the Poker Stakes, the fifth on the card at a mile on the inner turf. Ice Chocolate wins in an upset, paying $50 even for trainer Mark Cassie and jockey Jose Ortiz. You ready for that? Ortiz, a $50 winner yesterday. Jose wins it with Ice Chocolate in an upset. Mystery Knight was second, and Talk of the Nation was third in that one. Then came the Suburban. By the way, the early pick five. You ready for this? The early pick five at Saratoga. Here's the prices. $4.10, $20.20, $11.60, $20.40, and then the $50 bomber. Oh, yeah, you know it was a good payoff, right? The 50-cent pick five pays $79,255 to start off the Belmont Stakes Day of racing at Saratoga. Then we have the Ogden Phipps, a Breeders' Cup win and you win. And in this race, randomized, goes wire to wire. The Alabama winner of last year, randomized, wins the Ogden Phipps under a perfectly timed and rationed ride by Joel Rosario for trainer Chad Brown. I can tell you one thing. When they hit the head of the stretch, the big, big favorite, Idiomatic, who was stalking the early pace setter under Florent Garreau, went to work, got alongside randomized, but I got to tell you, if you watched Joel Rosario do his pumping and riding and pumping and riding hard and hard, I could tell you, he made the difference in this race. Randomized holds on to win in an upset, paying $14 even. I say that upset because Idiomatic was the odds-on favorite in the race, finishing second. Pretty Mischievous was third, and I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt, the jockey made the difference in this win. With this race, with randomized there, not even a question about that. That's for sure, my opinion. Then the next race was the 7 furlong Woody Stevens. That's the eighth on the card, and Bookum Dano was much the best in this one. That was a horse that, if you remember, Jonathan Hardoon liked a lot in this race. Bookum Dano with Irad Ortiz Jr. Second win for Irad of the day for trainer Derek Ryan. Bookum Dano paid $7 even. Prince of Monaco, the favorite in the race, could not catch Bookum Dano, ran second. And Nutella Fella, big long shot, ran third. Then we got to the Jaipur. The Jaipur, which is a Breeders' Cup win and you're in at 5.5 furlongs on the Mellon Turf Course. And then this one, another big, easy winner for Cogburn. Cogburn bottoms out the field. Irad Ortiz Jr.'s third race of the day and the first nine on the card. Steve Asmussen trained. Cogburn paid $6.30 as the favorite. Arzak was second. Remember, that was Jonathan Hardoon's pick, and Hardoon said the only horse that he thought he had to beat was Cogburn. If you used that, you got the exacta. Finishing third in the race was Star of Mystery. Then we got to the Met Mile, the Metropolitan Mile exact. but we call it the Met Mile. It's a Breeders' Cup winning your in race for $1 million at a mile. The winner there was National Treasure, who showed that he was much the best in this race. He was challenged at the top of the stretch, but pulled away for Flavien Prat and Bob Baffert. National Treasure, the winner, paid $4.70 as the favorite, giving Pratt his second win of the day. Hoist the Gold, a horse that I liked as a long shot in the race, finished second and finishing third in the race. Post time finished second. Beat Hoist the Gold in the photo finish. Hoist the Gold finished third. Yeah, okay. Well, anyhow. Then we get to the $1 million Grade 1 Manhattan at a mile and 3/16 on the Mellon Turf Course. There, the winner was Measured Time, who was, again, another horse that was much the best in the race. Measured Time wins it for William Buick and trainer Charlie Appleby. Finishing second in the race was National Pride, and both the first and second horse finishes in this race were trained by Charlie Appleby and owned by Godolphin Racing. Finishing third in the race was Far Bridge. Measured Time paid $8.20. That was John Lindo's pick on the show yesterday. Then came the main event, the $2 million Grade 1 Belmont Stakes. The Belmont Stakes winner in an upset was Dornock, who went on close to the early lead in this race. Dornock then hit the head of the stretch, and Mindframe, the big, horse that was well meant by a lot of people, the now horse, so to speak, came up and challenged him. But in mid-stretch, Mindframe drifted out into the middle of the racetrack and then came back in and tried to catch Dornock, but the wire came up too soon and Dornock poses the upset. This is a full brother to, the Derby winner of a couple of years. So that was a good win there for Dornock. Louis Saez aboard. Louis was a very happy person. And Danny Gargan, the trainer there, paying $37.40 for the upset in the Belmont Stakes. And, of course, Mindframe did finish second. Sierra Leone, who was well back early in the race, did close, but his closing kick was not impactful at all. He finished third, and Honor Marie finished fourth in the Belmont Stakes. Big upset there by Dornock, giving Louis Saez his second but most important win of the day. And then they wrapped it up in the 13th race with Jose Ortiz again pulling a big upset with a big long shot. Ortiz won the 13th race and paid $44.40. When do you see Jose Ortiz paying these kind of prices? A $50 winner in the 5th, a $44.40 winner in the 13th. Well, Ortiz certainly made his mark known to the long shot players yesterday at Saratoga. Finishing it off with the 14th race with a $7.90 winner. The pick five, the late pick five of those last five races, that paid $17,502.50. And I guess the big assumption that you can get out of this year's three-year-old crop is it's pretty well balanced. There's not really one big super horse out there amongst these three-year-olds. But I can tell you this, Mindframe showed a lot of promise with the finishing in this race. You could tell that his inexperience came into play in the final stages of the Belmont Stakes yesterday. Big day at Saratoga and the Belmont Stakes day yesterday. And if you saw any of the signals and if you saw any of the television yesterday, you saw it was just a massive crowd of people having fun. And the weatherman complied, and the weather was just great yesterday. They're going to pay for it today because the rain did come overnight at Saratoga. This is the closing day of that four-day meet at Saratoga. They go back down to Aqueduct as they continue the Belmont Park meet next week. And, of course, today is a day that we reflect, especially the folks in California, on Northern California racing with the actual close of Golden Gate Fields, a track that has a rich history in the state of California. Golden Gate will have its last racing day today. After today, they will start demolishing the grandstand and reissuing that valuable property off of the bay in San Francisco for other uses. But Golden Gate comes to an end today with their racing card. And you could just reflect on some of the great racing that's happened at Golden Gate, that's for sure. All righty. On today's show, we'll get Jonathan Ardoon's thoughts about the Belmont Day racing out at Saratoga. Look ahead to today, because we do have a lot of stakes races today, but everything is on the main track at Saratoga. And, of course, Rich Eng will be with us. John Lindo, I'm going to ask him to reflect a little bit on Golden Gate and what it meant to him. And, of course, we got Jerry J's picks as well. And your racing menu, and that'll come up next. So don't go away. We'll be right back on your Race Day Sunday show from Las Vegas.
South Point Casino is the perfect place to be. Our racebook is completely separate from the sportsbook and totally dedicated to the horse player. With 52 overhead TVs, free Wi-Fi, and cocktail service. Bring your tablet or smartphone and plug into the USB ports to look up your favorite handicapping website without draining your battery. Want to wager from your seat? No problem with our IPTs. Just sign up, make a deposit, and you're off to the races. Plus, you'll earn points for dining, hotel, movies, entertainment, and the spa just by using the club card when wagering. South Point Casino's Racebook has you covered.
All right, back on Race Day Las Vegas, a couple of quick notes from yesterday and the racing, etc. As we said, the handle at Saratoga for the Belmont Stakes Day was up 6.3%. That was the highest since, of course, Justify's Triple Crown run in 2018, and 6.3% over last year. But it was the highest since the Triple Crown was on the line with Justify in 2018. Torpedo Anna, they discovered after her win in the Acorn on Friday that she won the race on three shoes. She threw a shoe in the race. And so Torpedo Anna wins the race with just three shoes on. That's something there. Federal Trade Commission approved a batch of new rules requested by HISA. Oh, boy. The Federal Trade Commission has approved a voluminous set of new rules devised by the Horse Racing Integrity and Safety Authority that includes provisions allowing HISA to block a track from sending its signal to out-of-state racing locations if the authority believes conditions are unsafe at the track. It's going to be their opinion. Well, we know what they're doing with Texas right now, but now they're going to have more authority to do this at other racetracks too. Okay. And of course, George Weaver is relieved. He's back to training after his suspension was lifted by HISA. So we'll wait and see about that. Can you believe this? Wow. More authority from these guys. All right, here's the menu of racetracks available today in the Racebook simulcast centers, racetracks around the country. First post times rebroadcast on the show each and every day. Reflect that of the Pacific time zone. So if you're here in Las Vegas, you'd be coming out the book. This book was crowded yesterday. People were having as much fun here as they were at Saratoga yesterday and didn't pay all those big prices to have it. All I can tell you is they were having fun and having a good time here in this packed racebook yesterday at South Point. And it'll be open again today. Remember, these will be the first post times that rolled out in the book today because we are in the Pacific time zone. The first post times we broadcast on the show each and every day reflect the start times in the Pacific time zone. If you're not in it, adjust to it. Don't want you to miss anything making a bet there like I miss Mom and Dad. Okay, here we go. We begin with Laurel Park. Laurel Park has nine races today, and their first post time is at 9:25. Churchill Downs has a couple of stakes races today. Their first post time is 9:45 for their nine race card. The fourth race will be the Leslie's Lady Stakes for three-year-old fillies at seven furlongs, $175,000 stakes race. Seven go to the post before scratches. 2-1 favorite there is Emery with Tyler Gaffleon. Then the eighth race is the Grade 3 $400,000 Matt Wynn at a mile and 1/16 for three-year-olds, a field of 10 before scratches, and the 8-5 favorite there is Nash with Florent Garreau. First post time at Churchill Downs with a pick six jackpot carryover of $161,116 set at 9:45. Monmouth Park has 10 races. The Friendly Lover is their eighth and feature race at a mile. First post time at Monmouth Park today with a pick six jackpot carryover of $92,913 is set at 950. 950 first post at Monmouth. Saratoga, Belmont at Saratoga, the final day of the four-day Belmont Stakes Festival of Racing, will be under soggy conditions. The first race was a grade one steeplechase race, $150,000 stakes race, the Beverly R. Steinman. But because of the weather conditions, they have canceled the steeplechase stakes race in the first race. First race has been canceled because of the weather and track conditions there. You're off the turf today, which means the fifth race, the seventh race, the ninth race, the 10th race, and the 12th and final race are off the turf on the main track. Seven stakes races today. The Mike Lee will be the third. The Commentator will be the sixth. The Critical Eye will be the eighth. The Mount Vernon is the 10th. The Bowery is the 11th. And the 12th and final race is the Kingston Stakes. Seven stakes races, now only six because they canceled the steeplechase. And now only 11 races on the card, and a first post time of 9:50 at Saratoga. And right now, they don't have any updated changes or updated track conditions, but I can tell you it's going to be off. Simply put, it's going to be off. All right, Gulfstream Park is next. They have 11 races. Their pick six jackpot carryover, their rainbow jackpot, stands at $415,000, not $49, $415,000. 49. Wow. 9:55 first post for the 11 races today at Gulfstream Park. Woodbine, north of the border, is next. Woodbine has a super high five jackpot carryover, $241,168. Man, that's a goodie. And their first post time at Woodbine today for their nine races set at 10:10. Their feature race is the $125,000 Queenston Stakes. That'll be for three-year-olds at 7 furlongs, eighth race on the card. Big favorite there at 4-5 is My Boy Prince. First post time at Woodbine, 10:10. Hawthorne Racecourse has 10 races. Their first post time at Hawthorne is at 12:20. 12:20 at Hawthorne. Santa Anita comes next. Nine races at Santa Anita. First post time is 1 o'clock. Santa Anita. Feature race today is the eighth race on the card, the Affirmed Stakes. At 1/116 for three-year-olds, a field of five there, a compact five it is. First post time at Santa Anita is at 1 o'clock this afternoon. Then we have Emerald Downs. Emerald Downs has eight races today, and their first post time is 1:30. And then we get to Golden Gate. Yes, everybody take off your hats. Pay homage to Golden Gate. Final day of racing ever at Golden Gate. It's the end of the road. Eight races today. First post time is at 1:50. And by the way, they have a mandatory payout, obviously. Their pick six jackpot carryover, $27,676. And it goes today with a mandatory payout. Prairie Meadows is next. They got a pick five jackpot carryover, $81,138. 2 o'clock first post time for seven races there. Los Alamitos wraps it up. Los Al has nine races, three thoroughbred, three mixed breed, and three quarter horse races make up the Los Alamitos nine-race card. They're going to seed the pick six pot at $10,000. You know, they stick 10 grand in there. It's already 10,000 in the pick six pool. Regular pick six there at Los Al. First post time is at 6 p.m., and that is your racing menu for today. Now we go to Jonathan Nardoon standing by in Saugee, Saratoga. Jonathan, good morning.
Good morning, Ralph. Boy, did we have a lot of rain throughout the night. All the races are off the grass. They had the track sealed, but there's certainly going to be plenty of moisture in it.
Well, your thoughts about racing yesterday at Saratoga, my thoughts were, in looking at the way the race is shaped up and looking at how the winners won and the distances they won by and the way some of the fields were strung out in a very, very competitive stakes race card yesterday, I thought that maybe the racetrack itself, the surface, was a surface that was a little bit different than usual. Obviously, they had to work with that track because they had to seal it when they thought rain was coming, unseal it when the rain wasn't there, bada-bing, bada-bong, bada-bing, bada-bong, back and forth. But I thought because of all of that, the racetrack, I don't think, was universally accepted by a lot of the horses.
No, I mean, listen, let's be honest about it. On these big race days, they like to soup up the track. They like to see these fast times, but it's not fair to the bettors. It's not fair to the horses, to be honest with you. Even Chad Brown, you know, it wasn't sour grapes. He had a legitimate point. It was very hard to win with Sierra Leone's running style, to be able to come from dead last on that track. It happened once during the day when a horse named Croupy won. He came from out of it. But generally speaking, you had to be up close. Horses were not coming from out of it. Listen, the Sierra Leone, he had trouble out of the gate. Again, there was some banging, but no excuses. Dornock stepped it up. He ran well here last year, and he ran well again yesterday in a terrific ride by Luis Saez. And by the way, the horse that ran second was as green as a cucumber, Mind Frame, you know, making career start number three, being asked to go a mile and a quarter around two turns, a completely different game. And he paid for it in the last 70 yards, I guess. It looked like he was going right by, but he was busy going every which way but straight in the middle of the stretch. So that certainly may have cost him.
Well, and, you know, to be all perfectly honest with you and fair, Mr. Brown didn't have any problem with the track when he upset Idiomatic with Randomized earlier in the day. When that horse,
no, it was fine.
When that horse used that, what he was complaining about in the Belmont to her advantage and won the race.
Yeah, you're right about that, Ralph. You hit it on the nose. You know, it's, what have you done for me lately, I guess. I don't know. I mean, listen. I had to be certainly disappointed. They expected a much better run out of Sierra Leone than they got. You know, maybe this group of three-year-olds aren't all it's cracked up to be. Listen, we didn't see any of the Baffert horses, with the exception of the Preakness. You know, some of the best three-year-olds are on the sidelines. Nisos, Muth, even Fierceness, you know, and this is what was left. Sierra Leone had to be a disappointment. I mean, you know, listen, he was within a nose of winning the Derby, and before that he was kind of undefeated. So it's hard. It's just, you know, it's a hard thing to do. It's a hard accomplishment. Listen, there are 20,000 horses born every year. Yeah. Only 20 of them make it to the Derby. Right. So that just gives you an idea of how hard it really is.
Well, not only that, but I think what we're learning now from this three-year-old crop is whatever talent level they're at, most of them are at that talent level. Nobody is pushed through to be superior in this three-year-old group. That doesn't mean they're bad. It means they're all about as equal talent. And we'll wait. It'll be shaken out a little bit later on in the year with the Travers that will be held at the race, same racetrack at the same distance in August. We have, of course, Pennsylvania Derby. You got the Haskell, and you've got you know, a lot of the races afterwards that these three-year-olds will start facing their older horses in the you know, in the fall leading up to the Breeders' Cup Classic. That's for sure. When you're talking about the way the track played out, didn't play out well for a horse like White Abario, who just couldn't get a hold of the race in the Met Mile. I thought the Met Miles, although National Treasure put in a fantastic run in that race, it was kind of not up to the standards of the other Met Miles of the past.
No, a lot of horses actually didn't show up. You know, National Treasure took it to him right from the get-go. And again, the way the track was, it certainly helped him. But you're right, a lot of horses just were not at top performance yesterday, whether it was the track, whatever it may have been. But I have to tell you, hats off to Naira. They put on a terrific show. Despite the prices and everything else, they capped it at $50,000, and they could have put another $25,000 in if they would have allowed them. There would have been no room for them.
Yeah.
But the day went off without any hitches, no major problems. It was clean racing. It was good racing. And the people there were having a blast. So that's what you want, and it was certainly a major success. They bet over $125 million.
Yeah.
So anybody that tells you the game is dying and going out of business, check yesterday.
Well, yeah, they have their events, that's for sure. The game is changing a little, but we're still alive and well and kicking, that's for sure. And all I can tell you is that handle was helped by the folks here at the South Point, because this place was busy all day long. The lines were long all day, and the people were having just as much fun here without the expenses and the overhead at Saratoga. That's for sure. And I can tell you this, in watching all of the crowd cutaways at Saratoga, both from the drones and everything else, it seemed like it was a very well-dressed crowd of people there at Saratoga yesterday.
It's a big event here, Ralph. It's like, you know, it's going to an affair or something. It's like, you know, you're going to a wedding or whatever. I mean, people would dress to the T's. The women had all their hats on like it was Derby Day, and everyone was in a suit for the, you know, a lot of people showed up in suits and tuxedos and everything else they went with it. They made it a holiday, and it really worked out well for them.
Yeah, and let me tell you something, too. Finally, horse racing is starting to embrace the racebook industry, the casino industry now, because two of the races yesterday, the presenters, well, not yesterday, but two of the races over the weekend, the Acorn was presented with the Johnny Avello representing DraftKings and Brad Bryant, who represents the Connecticut you know, casino up there, also made a presentation in a stakes race. So we're finally getting you know, recognized by horse racing that we're not the enemy, we're the good guys helping you out.
Exactly. It's only good for horse racing. It's not bad.
Now, here's the official finish of the Belmont Stakes. Dornock wins it by a half length. Mind Frame, and as you say, Racing Green finished second. Then you had Sari Leone finishing third. He was 2.5 lengths off the win. Hector Honor Marie, who got bumped again at the start, finished fourth in the race to complete the superfecta. Then you had Aquarian running in fifth, Seized the Gray. Ran sixth. I take that back. Aquarian finished fifth. Protective was sixth. Seize the Gray was seventh. Mystic Dan was eighth. The Wine Steward finished ninth. And Resilience was tenth and final. I guess maybe the two disappointments in the race were the Derby and Preakness winners that didn't even make the Super High Five.
Well, Mystic Dan was now running his third race in just 5 weeks, so it finally caught up to him. And even Seize the Gray, his last race at Preakness was over a sloppy track. He had he had everything his own way for the most part. After Imagination only ran with him for half a mile, and then he said he had enough.
Yeah.
So I wasn't surprised that he didn't run well, to be honest with you, but I was surprised with Dornock's performance. I thought he was much better as a two-year-old than he was as a three-year-old. Give credit to Danny Gargan. He got him right, and he got him right on the right day.
No question about that, that's for sure. And now we will reassess it all and start with the Midsummer Derby at, the Haskell, I think, comes before the Midsummer Derby, which is the Travers. Those two races will start the thrust of the second half of the year for the three-year-olds. And by the time they get to the end of the year, they're going to have to be going against the older horses that want to go into the Breeders' Cup Classic, that's for sure. But like you said, it was a resounding success as far as business-wise for the racing industry and for racing overall. The broadcast divisions that covered the race did a great job. It was great by all, and it all started with the fact that the Mother Nature said, let's not rain on their parade. It was nice there. However, we're going to pay the price today at Saratoga. So looking forward to today, what are we doing here, Jonathan? We've got several stakes races at Saratoga today. I'll just give a quick look, just a brief look at some of the stakes races today. The Mike Lee will be the third race in the race, and rumor has it that the favorite might be scratched in this race.
Yeah, Rudy. Rumor has it on the backstretch this morning that Rudy Rodriguez said this horse was off, and he probably will be scratching. So it's not official, but it's unofficial, and you hear it first here on Race Day Las Vegas.
Okay, and that is Antonio of Venus, which is the 6-5 favorite there. We'll wait and see about that. Otherwise, it looks like a pretty balanced race.
Yeah, it's, you know, five horses in the field will be left after the late scratch, and they're pretty evenly matched. You give a slight edge to the four Doc Sullivan, but really not a great betting race, to be honest with you.
All right, then the $200,000 commentator at a mile and 1/8 for three-year-olds and up sees a field of seven, and I'll try to check and see if the website has any of the late scratches up yet. They do not, so we're looking at seven in that race, and the 7-5 favorite, Drake's Passage. Is there a chance that somebody can pass Drake's Passage to the winner's circle?
Well, Drake's Passage is coming off of Lasix, and his really good races are around one turn. Now he's going a mile and 1/8, two turns. I would give a shot to the one, Sheriff Bianco. Linda Rice has been quiet the first 3 days. I'm sure she's going to leave with winning a couple of races, and this may be one of them.
And her main pilot, Jose Lascano, astride there, number one, Sheriff Bianco in the sixth. That's the commentator. Then we move to the eighth race, the critical lie for fillies and mares, three-year-olds and up at a mile and one-eighth, and a field of nine before any scratches. And again, a good competitive race. Morning line favorite at 2-1 is Fingal's Cave, but it looks like there's a lot of other horses that'll be competing.
Yeah, I like Venti Valentine in there. Irod Ortiz for George Abreu, 3-1 second choice on the morning line. I would try to beat Fingal's Cave, to be honest with you. I would use the 6 Midnight Lights and the 9 Bustin' Bay underneath.
All right.
2 over 6 and 9.
All right, the 2 Venti Valentine over number 6 Midnight Midtown Lights and the 9 Bustin' Bay. Then we go to the 10th race, the Mount Vernon, and now switched from a mile on the inner turf to a mile on the main track, fillies and mares, four-year-olds and up. I am sure there will be some defections in this race, but they have a field of 10 ready to go, and Tough Street, 8-5, Silver Skillet, 2-1.
I have a feeling this race is going to be demolished by late scratches, to be honest with you,
yeah,
because most of these horses are turf horses. The 9 Stonewall Star and the 10 Tough Street, these are the 2 dirt horses in the race, and I'm sure they'll stay, and it'll be a race between the two of them, Stonewall Star and Tough Street.
Yeah, the 9 and 10 are the ones that are waiting and got what they wanted, main track and off conditions. All right, the 11th race is the Bowery, 7 furlongs for 3-year-old fillies, and 10 go in this one. There's a lot of activity as far as the handicappers are concerned in this race because Jerry Jackowitz has a pick here, and so does John Lendo. But what say you?
I like a price horse here, Ralph. I like the number 9 horse, Bernie Takes Charge. Trevor McCarthy for Dominic Schettino. This horse likes an off track. This horse is drawn well outside going 7 furlongs. The price is right, 10-1. And I think this field is going to stay intact, and I think you may get every bit of it.
Bernie Takes Charge. Well, you hope he does, that's for sure. And then in the 11th race, you like the 9. And so with the 2 other selections between Jerry and John Lendo, I got myself a Sirocco trifecta box with your 9 horse, Bernie Takes Charge. Finally, the 12th and final race for the 4-day meet and for today at Saratoga is the Kingston, again, transferred from the turf to the main track. A field of 16, but this will be decimated with late scratches, too.
Yeah, but you may be left with 7 or 8 of them. That's the good news. I like a horse a lot in here. I was actually going to make him the radio play, but I didn't know that the race was going to come off the turf. But now I do, so now I can make it one of my radio plays. And I love the number 5 horse in here, Maker's Candy. 4-year-old colt from the Mike Maker barn, Louis Sayers aboard to ride. Forget the 15-1. You're never going to see it. We'll be lucky if we get 5-1. But I think number 5, Maker's Candy, is going to be ultra tough in this spot.
All right. Well, here's the deal, folks. We had Mr. Hardoon give us an extra bonus play today, and it's number 5, Maker's Candy, in the 12th race. The 5, Maker's Candy, in the 12th and final race at Saratoga will be an official play from you. And I know you have one earlier in the day, but that was for the turf. Do you want to stick with that?
No. I knew that race. That race they took off early. They just took off the 10th and 12th within the last half hour. But the 7th race today, I like the number 9. The number eight horse in here, Raining at the Beach. 3-year-old filly from the Rudy Rodriguez barn. Last time out, this horse also ran on a race that was rained off the turf, and she actually ran pretty well. Flavian Pratt sticks, 10-1 on the morning line. Forget that price. This horse will be a lot shorter, but I like number 8, Raining at the Beach, to win today's 7th race out at Saratoga.
All right, so you are going to stay with your original pick there as well. So we got 2 out of you for Saratoga on, I guess, a Sunday extra special. So in the 7th race, you're going to stick with the 8, Raining at the Beach, after Raining at Saratoga. All right, now we go to Santa Anita for your pick there, and we'll let you go.
7th race today, 1.25 on the turf, and I love the number 7 horse in here, Living Life. This is a 4-year-old Ridgeling from the Ron Ellis barn. I like the rider switch today to Antonio Frasu. By the way, he's taking over for Drayden Van Dyke, who moved his tack to Florida. He had 3 wins in the last 2 days. That's more wins than he's had all year at Santa Anita. So he's riding live horses there for Safi Joseph. So pay attention to that for people that do play Gulfstream. Anyway, 7th race today, number 7, Living Life, who could certainly handle the distance, I think is going to be very tough in here. 5-1 on the morning line. I like number 7, Living Life, to win today's 7th race.
7th race, number 7, easy to remember at Santa Anita today, number 7 in the 7th race Jonathan Ardoon's pick at Santa Anita. Jonathan, you're right. Drayden Van Dyke needed to get some freshening somewhere, so he went to Gulfstream, and he's hitting the ground running, especially when you're going to ride for Safi Joseph Jr. Glad to see him get his wins there early. And as far as jockeys changing their racetracks again, Abel Cedillo.
He needed a fresh start, Ralph. Yeah. He needed the fresh start. He's getting a shot at Gulfstream, so good for him.
Yes. Abel Cedillo, who was away for a while in Southern California, returns to riding at Southern California, and he had a winner yesterday at Santa Anita, a $16 winner. So he's back in Southern California from his trip outside of California as well. Went to the Midwest, and now he's back in Southern California. So a few just notes there. And, Jonathan, of course, you got, 3 sheets today?
Yep. Gulfstream, Churchill, and, Santa Anita, Saratoga, and Churchill.
And do you have Gulfstream, too?
I do.
All right, so that's 4. Make it 4. Okay. Yeah. Now you can go back to sleep for a while.
Thank you, Ralph. Stay safe and be well.
Yes, thank you, too, Jonathan. All right, we'll talk. We'll talk to him on Wednesday. In the meantime, we'll be right back with Rich Eng. Don't go away.
Who is there for heroes or the families left behind when a service member or first responder dies or is catastrophically injured in the line of duty? Who helps our country's homeless veterans? And who helps our nation to never forget 9/11? Let me tell you who. The Tunnel to Towers Foundation. The Foundation's Gold Star, Fallen First Responder, Smart Home, and Homeless Veteran programs comprise their In the Line of Duty programs. They're all dedicated to honoring our nation's heroes and their families. The Foundation's Never Forget programs engage people in 9/11 remembrance across America. Over 80 runs, walks, and climbs a year, dozens of golf outings, and the Tunnel to Towers 9/11 Institute is educating kids in kindergarten through 12th grade to help our nation keep its vow to never forget. More than 95 cents of every dollar you donate to Tunnel to Towers goes to its programs. Never forget the sacrifices of our country's greatest heroes. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at t2t.org. That's t2t.org.
South Point Casino is the perfect place to be. Our racebook is completely separate from the sportsbook and totally dedicated to the horse player. With 52 overhead TVs, free Wi-Fi, and cocktail service, bring your tablet or smartphone and plug into the USB ports to look up your favorite handicapping website without draining your battery. Want to wager from your seat? No problem with our IPTs. Just sign up, make a deposit, and you're off to the races. Plus, you'll earn points for dining, hotel, movies, entertainment, and the spa just by using the club card when wagering. South Point Casino's Racebook has you covered.
Continuing on Race Day Las Vegas for this Sunday, and then we'll take a couple of days off and be back next Wednesday at our usual start time. We now go to Rich Eng standing by. Richie, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Ralphie. Good morning, viewers. Good morning, listeners.
Well, it was an interesting day of racing yesterday at Saratoga for the Belmont Stakes.
It was a fantastic day of horse racing, Ralph. It was kind of like a mini Breeders' Cup event. The place was packed. The visuals coming out of Saratoga were just awesome. I mean, it's great to see a racetrack full of people. And, I've been reading some of the tweets that people think there were more than 50,000, which was supposedly the ceiling at Saratoga. They said it was so crowded, it had to feel like there was more than 50,000 people there. But yeah, it was just a phenomenal day for horse racing.
And it was here in town. It was a buzz in the racebook here at South Point. That was for sure. Any thoughts about the results?
Well, just to talk about the Belmont Stakes, to focus on the main stakes, Ralph, I had selected Mindframe with my analysis being that I thought it was a good group of three-year-olds, but not a great group, and it was kind of dying for some new blood. And if I was going to be able to draft a horse out of the Belmont Stakes field, it would be Mindframe, because he's so green, Ralph. You saw him in the stretch running sideways for about an eighth of a mile,
yeah.
And then he made a last surge at the end and just could not catch Doorknock. But as far as natural talent, I think he looks like the horse with the most ceiling, the highest ceiling out of that group.
Well, and the Travers is in the same place at the same distance, so we'll wait and see about that. Looking ahead to today, yes, Virginia, there is racing after the big day, and it is, of course, at Santa Anita and at Saratoga. Santa Anita has the weather today, though, and you have a sheet for Santa Anita available at the RaceDayLasVegas.com website. Where are we going with the pick?
Yeah, actually, snuck in a winner at Santa Anita yesterday on the card. Let's see if we can get another one going. Race number six, Ralph, is 6 furlongs, optional claimer, 20 Calbreds. Let's go with the Speedball on the rail. Number one, Disobey. Simple tactics for Tiago Pereira. Just send this horse and go as fast and as far as you can. Number one, Disobey, race six.
Yeah, and we just want to give you a quick heads up and a tip of the cap with the winner, El Diablo Rojo, in the fifth race yesterday at Santa Anita. Completed a pick five that paid over $1,000 there at Santa Anita today. You have the sixth race, number one, Disobey, the one, Disobey, in the sixth. And don't forget, Richie's got his full selections at the RaceDayLasVegas.com websites. All right, thanks a lot, Rich. We'll talk to you on Wednesday.
Hey, thanks, Ralph. Good luck, everybody.
All right, before we go to John Lindo and the final break, I'm going to give you Jerry J's plays. Jerry J's plays, of course, remember, folks, that Jerry J, on a sabbatical now until early July. His power pages for Santa Anita and Belmont at Saratoga is available today at jerryjspowerpage.com. We go to Saratoga, and at Saratoga, Jerry goes in the 11th race, the Bowery. Of course, you already got a pick from Jonathan Ardoon. In the 11th race, the Bowery, he likes the 4 Sunday Gal, a Sunday Girl, I should say. 8-1 on the morning line, the 4 Sunday Girl. The link-ups are 1, 6, 7, and the 9 with Mr. Ardoon's pick as well. So the 4 over 1, 6, 7, 9. The 4 is Jerry's play in the 11th at Saratoga. And at Santa Anita, Jerry J goes to the 4th race. In the 4th race, Jerry likes the 1 Petit Filet. 5-1 on the morning line. 4th race at Santa Anita. The 1, the link-ups are 4, 5, and 6, and reverse. The 1 is the play there. All right, we're going to our final break. When we come back, John Lindo's with us. And we'll take a thought about what's going on for the final day at Golden Gate. We'll be right back.
South Point Casino is the perfect place to be. Our racebook is completely separate from the sportsbook and totally dedicated to the horse player. With 52 overhead TVs, free Wi-Fi, and cocktail service, bring your tablet or smartphone and plug into the USB ports to look up your favorite handicapping website without draining your battery. Want to wager from your seat? No problem with our IPTs. Just sign up, make a deposit, and you're off to the races. Plus, you'll earn points for dining, hotel, movies, entertainment, and the spa just by using the club card when wagering. South Point Casino's Racebook has you covered.
The Race Day Las Vegas Show, the only exclusive daily local media racing information source in Las Vegas.
All right, back on Race Day Las Vegas to put the top on the week and the show. And we're going to go to John Lindo, standing by in Southern California. John, good morning.
Good morning, Ralph. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing fine, my man. A great day of racing yesterday overall, and certainly a lot of questions and a lot of answers yesterday at Saratoga.
Well, one of the questions is, you know, the three-year-old scene is now up for grabs going into the Travers, the Penn Derby, and the fall races. So that'll be an interesting scenario. Nobody wants to grab a hold and take charge in the three-year-old division right now.
I noticed that you said the Penn National and Travers, but you left out the Haskell because we just automatically give that to Bob Baffert.
Well, let's hope he gets his best horses back in time for that. We want to see some of these West Coast three-year-olds that have not made the big dances yet.
Well, I'll reflect with you a little bit more on some of the races at Saratoga, the Belmont Stakes Day at Saratoga, maybe on Wednesday. But for today, I wanted to reflect on Golden Gate, what a track that has a rich, rich history in the state of California. in such a beautiful place in the state of California, and such great dedicated horsemen and workers at the racetrack in Northern California. This has got to be shattering to a lot of lives up there.
It's really sad, Ralph, on a lot of levels. I mean, you talk about some of the horsemen we've seen come from the Bay Area. I mean, Bill Shoemaker got his first winner at Golden Gate. And, you know, he did pretty well throughout his career. And some of the guys that you've seen start their riding careers up at Golden Gate and end up in Southern California, guys like Victor Espinoza, Russell Bayes came down for a while. Our leading rider right now, Juan Hernandez, is from the Bay Area. Abel Cedillo just came back. He started up there. Kyle Frey, who's doing very well down here.
Yeah.
And so many good horsemen, guys like Art Sherman. And you can't mention Northern California Racing without Jerry Hollendorfer, who has, you know, kind of been swept under the rug. And on a shameless plug, Ralph, on our Thoroughbred LA show today, 9:05, we're going to have Jerry Hollendorfer on to talk a little bit about Bay Area racing.
So, that is not a shameless plug. That is a great plug, because Jerry Hollendorfer, who has been excluded from the owned racetracks by the people who own Santa Anita, could be right behind the eight ball as far as being a trainer in California, except for Los Alamitos. It'll be interesting. Tell people where they can get it at the top of the hour.
9:05 a.m. on thoroughbredla.com. That's our website. You can listen to it right there, or you can pick up the archives after, you know, after the show's done. But I'm interested to hear what Jerry has to say about some of these things. And, you know, you see a guy like that, and you might want to have a guy like that saddling some horses. And, you know, he ran his horses. We could use that in Southern California right now.
He sure did. He ran a lot of horses all the time, and certainly a very good trainer and a nice guy, that's for sure. You talk about Russell Bayes, the world's the winningest jockey of all time in America. He won most of those races right there in Northern California and at Golden Gate. And I do want to make one note that on the X, which is formerly Twitter, but on X, Todd Schrupp did a great piece on Golden Gate. If you have a chance to get and see it, that was a great piece video-wise and all that about the history of Golden Gate. The team at FanDuel will be up there for the closing today at Golden Gate. And all I can say, it's sad, but it's a reality, that's for sure. All right, let's get a couple of picks from you, John.
Well, first of all, I'll go to Saratoga. Everybody seems to fall in the 11th race. Yeah. Some listeners went, well, why are those guys all in the same race? Well, with the weather a question, we're trying to find a dirt race, I think. And
yeah.
The 11th, the Bowery, I really like number 7, Landed, who won from a terrible post at Keeneland, going wire to wire from going two turns. But he's a one-turn horse as well, draws a good post today, has tactical speed. I think it's made to order. That was open company last time, New York today. 3-1 on the program, number 7, Landed, race number 11 at Saratoga.
All right, the 11th race at Saratoga, you like the 7, Landed. And so now we have three selections in that race. Jerry has the 4, and of course, Jonathan Nardoon gave us the 9, you give us the 7. As I said in teasing before, I got myself a Sirocco trifecta play with the 4, 7, 9, but you like the 7 in the Bowery, the 11th race at Saratoga today. What about Santa Anita?
Santa Anita, I'm also in the 7th race, and I'm on the same horse as John Hardoon. I like number 7, Living Life here, a horse that I think will love a mile and a quarter. For a mile and a quarter race, there's a lot of early speed in here, and that's going to be just fine with this horse who comes from left field. Big rider switch to Antonio Freisu. I think this is what he wants to do. 5-1 on the morning line, a very fair price. Number 7, Living Life, race number 7, Santa Anita.
All right, 7th race, number 7. Easy to remember, it's Santa Anita, the 7 in the 7th race. John Lindo's play at Santa Anita. Remember, John Lindo's got a full sheet, Lindo Report, for both closing day at Saratoga and today at Santa Anita. Two full sheets of the Lindo Report, of course, picks in all the races, suggested late pick fours, and, of course, all the goody information. Two Lindo Reports available only one place here in your gaming capital, free of charge, exclusively complimentary here at the South Point Racebook, because they love horse players. We wrap up a very interesting week of race day. We'll be back on Wednesday. And with 30 seconds left, John, a memory of Golden Gate.
Well, I sent a couple of horses up there to run with Jerry Hollendorfer, and I had a horse, Happy Star. Ron Hansen had won 5 races that day. He comes out to get on the horse and said, Ron, how are we doing? He said, don't worry, John, we're home free. So I went to the windows, unloaded, and here comes Ron on the outside, and that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, no question about that, that's for sure. And I like to see the comebacks to Southern California, as we say, Abel Cedillo back, and so is Dan Blacker off of his suspension. Had a winner yesterday at Santa Anita as well. Well, we wrap it up with the race day show by saying that it was a great day of racing, whether you made money or not. I didn't have as many winners as I'd like, that's for sure. But it was just a great day of racing, and it was very heartwarming to guys like us, race players, day in and day out, and people like you. This game's not dead. It's just changing. One more thing to say before...
You get that enthusiasm, Ralph. That's the key. You get the people out there having fun.
That's right. One more thing to say before we wrap it up and get back on Wednesday, and John's going to say it.
Have a great race day, everybody.
It's Ralph Cilotto at Race Day Las Vegas, morning on 1400 KSHP North Las Vegas.
Online
at KSHP.gov.